Well, hey there, Eternity. Welcome to the weekly podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This week's message is part two of the current series called The Flourishing Church. And listen, I gotta tell you, if you missed last week's podcast, you gotta go check that one out. That episode is part one of the series, and the response we have been getting from you guys have just been incredible. So I know that one will bless your life. Go check that one out. But here comes episode two, and without further ado, here is Pastor Jesse.
You ready for the word this morning? You ready for the word this morning? Come on, we're at Eternity. You got to participate. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, participate. So many syllables in that word. It sounds like a whole sentence, doesn't it? Participate. We come to church to participate in the Word of God. Amen. I do not want to just be up here to entertain you. I want to share the Word of God with you. I want you to receive it. I want you to experience it and participate in it. So we're going to have a great day today. I'm excited about the Word today. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12 in a moment. But first, I want to say welcome to church. Welcome to church online, on the line. Welcome to church, Facebook and YouTube and everybody else. Glad you're with us today. If you're new, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I'm so grateful that you're here. Really are glad that you're here. We're in the middle of a sermon series called The Flourishing Church. And we're going to talk a lot about ways that you can serve in your church, ways you can connect in your church and be a blessing to your church, and how a flourishing church will really bless your life. That's next week. We're going to talk more about how you can join one of the serving crews and different things like that. Super exciting. Meet the pastors. New young adults opportunities on the patio on the 2nd and 4th of every month. That's going to be fantastic as well. So lots of great things going on. Wasn't it cool to have e-news back in church? We didn't have e-news for like 3 months because there was no news. There was nothing else. It was like if we had e-news, it would have been come to church next week. The end. And that would have been our e-news. And then the next week, we'd have played the same clip. Come to church next weekend. That's what we got going on right now. But I'm excited that we've got a few things happening. Really excited to have our mate Chris Durso coming to town. Do y'all love when we have Robert and Taylor Madu in church? Yeah. Well, Chris and Yurissa Durso are their best mates, all right? And so we're really blessed to have them as well. But by the way, I said to the new people in the room or online, we've got a gift for you. In the room after the service, when you run out there, just grab a welcome bag. There's a team of people waiting to bless you with that. We are absolutely over the top obsessed with being generous. And so that's just an opportunity for us to bless you. It's good stuff. You'll like it. It's not just, you know, typical free stuff that you throw in the trash when you get home. You'll like it. So go get that after the service. And if you're online and you'd like us to post that to you, go to myeternity.com/new and we will send it to you. But let's get into the word. It's kind of our custom, my habit, whatever, to get us to stand up as we read the main scripture for the day. Romans 12. You ready? Awesome. By the way, if you knew another thing you need to know, we like to yell at the preacher. All right. We yell at the pastor. My mates say that this is a holler back church, all right? So you got to holler back at me when I'm preaching, all right? And so I know if it's your first time in the room since being online, and maybe when you were watching online, you're just sitting there in your undies and not really yelling at the screen. Well, you're in the room now, so number one, I hope you got pants on. And number two, get back in the habit of yelling at the preacher, all right? Come on. Now, we're going to go from Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. You ready for it? Yeah. Boom. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, mothers and misters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, someone say, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and his pleasing and his perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Hello. Last year, I quit watering my lawns. I was sick of paying for Sky Water to water my lawns, and so I'm really grateful for this. So my neighbours, tomorrow, my grass will be a little green again, and my neighbours will be like, he can stay here, and I'll be grateful. So in Christ, we, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each and every one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Come on, let's pray. Reach out your hands if you want to receive from God today. Heavenly Father, help us to maybe dig a little deeper under the surface of this scripture, to understand our role, Lord God, our function, God. Help us to figure out what it is you've called us to do. But God, I pray above what we do, help us to remember the why. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, if you live with the person next to you, high five them. If you don't, air five them. Take your seats, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. This week as I was preparing to preach, I felt a real strong sense that we need to take this time to help you find the what and the why of your calling. That is the what you're called to do and why you're in the body of Christ. Amen. Does anybody here ever struggle with maybe accidentally letting what you do become why you're here? You know, why you're on the planet? Or even struggle to know what your what even is. You know, what do you want me to do, God? What's my calling, God? What's my purpose, God? See, today I want to help you answer some of those questions. And so this passage that we just read speaks about all of us as individual parts of one body, like we talked about last week. If you're here or online, but you were not here or online last week, I encourage you to get the podcast, watch the video of last week's sermon to understand how we are all unique and individual parts. None of us look the same or function the same, but we are all of equal value to God and His kingdom. Amen. So go get that podcast. It was called The Flourishing Church and Hundreds and Thousands. But this passage we read talks about gifting and purpose and function. And as I read that, it made me ask myself, how do you know what God called you to do? Like, do you have to wait for somebody to tell you? Does He write it in the sky with an airplane? Do you read the Bible and all the other words disappear except one word, mop? You know, like, what happens? How do you know what God's called you to do in His church, in your family, in your community, in your workplace? How do you know? So let's go back to the verses 4-8 where it talks about gifting and purpose. And then at the end of that, we'll maybe at the end of the message, we'll land on that question that I've been asking. How do you know? How do you find that? But we'll go back to verse 4-8 and talk about some of the what's. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to the others. That's pretty cool. You belong here. All right, you belong in the body of the believers, amen. There's a sense of belonging. That's like the first step. There's a sense of belonging in the body. We're in Christ and we're in the body of Christ, amen. And so you belong here. We all have different gifts, each according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy faith, then faith, serve, then serve, teaching, then teach, encouragement, then encourage, giving, then give, leading, then lead, mercy, then do it cheerfully, right? And now when we read this scripture, it's super important to understand when it was written and who to, all right? Like, in fact, every scripture you read, you need to understand when it was written and who it was written to understand how it was written and why certain analogies were used, all right? For example, you've heard the term whitewashed tombs, right? Well, that means nothing to us now, but it meant something then. A tomb that was dirty, but then they just painted it white. All right, like, and so it meant something then, and you get the understanding by understanding when it was written, who it was written to, and what it meant to them. That's especially important when we're reading a scripture about gifting and purpose, calling on your life, right? See, this was written 2,000 years ago. That's a long time, like a long, long time. It was written to Romans in the first 100 years of Christianity. So what does that tell me? Well, that tells me that it's clearly not an all-encompassing list of things that you can do for the Lord. What do I mean? Well, he did not put on that list that you can be on the sanitation crew and clean the seats after every service in the middle of a pandemic. That wasn't written on there. Wasn't there. Because that wasn't happening then. And they didn't have Clorox wipes. Hallelujah, thank the Lord for Clorox wipes. What am I saying? I'm saying the lists that we find in the Word of God, in Ephesians, in Corinthians, in Romans, it does not include everything that you can do for your Lord and Savior. All the lists of passions and giftings, they don't limit. It's not saying here is all that you can do for the Lord. Nothing else can be done for the Lord. My old pastor would say that we're not limited, or you can't only do what the Bible says, but you should not go against what the Bible says. For example, like the Bible doesn't talk about whether or not to buy an electric car versus a petrol car. That would be an electric car versus a gasoline car, all right? The Bible doesn't talk about cars. Well, only one time. It does say that they were all worshiping the Lord in one accord, so obviously there was a Honda, but that's it. That's it. There was only one car. It didn't talk about if it was hybrid, gasoline, or electric. Come on. The Bible doesn't talk about which car you should buy. Both are okay. But what's not okay is intentionally running over your husband with that car. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Hello. I don't care, and the Bible don't care which car you drive, but don't kill anybody on purpose with the car. Does this make sense to y'all? Come on, you're catching what I'm throwing? You feel me? So the Bible's list of gifting similarly are not exhaustive, but they're inclusive. That means that it's not an exhaustive list of everything, but it includes everything that's on the list. Do we have any gifted electric guitar players in the room? Give me a holler, yell at me, wave at me. Come on. Come on, ding man. Put your hand up. I saw you up here just this morning and last night. That guy is a gifted electric guitarist, or just guitarist, right? He is a beast. Anyone appreciate Matt Dingman on the guitar today? God has given that man a passion and a gift for playing guitar in worship. And he loves to use his gifts and passions to help lead the people of God in worship. And so every week at Eternity Church, he gets to be part of a worship team, or almost every week, of a worship team leading over 1,000 people in worship in this room and online, and he loves it. But can you imagine if Paul wrote to the Romans 2,000 years ago? Some of y'all will be teachers, some in the room and some on the line. Some will be both in person and virtual. Some of y'all are going to be bass players. Some of y'all are going to be electric guitarists. Some of you will run the production booth at Eternity Church so the message in the heart of God can go further than just those sitting in the air-conditioned room. And speaking of air-conditioned rooms, some of y'all are going to be HVAC mechanics and use that gift to make sure that the room that we worship in keeps a nice temperature. They'd all be like, bro, you told us not to drink too much. You've been on the terps, haven't you? They would have no idea what he's talking about. He wrote that to Romans 2,000 years ago. They don't know what an electric guitar is. They don't know what a production booth is. But if you give people too much information at the wrong time, it can become an idol. It can become something more important to them than the one who wanted to give them the gift. So then they'd spend the next 2,000 years trying to get an electric guitar in a production booth, and that would be all they care about. Why are you at church? I'm trying to get an electric guitar. Why are you at church? I'm trying to build that production booth he talked about. What's it going to do? I don't know. Let me illustrate this to you a little bit better. Now, I know, like, there's a whole war. Like, you can't be a Star Wars fan and a Star Trek fan, all right? I happen to think that the way the world divides us into Star Wars and Star Trek is an insult, all right? Like, we're not meant to be divided, all right? We can like both, or just one and not the other, and not be worse person than the person who likes the other. Anyway, I digress. Do we have any Star Trek fans in the room? Give me a wave and a holler. If you like Star Trek better than Star Wars, would you yell at me loud? I'm with you, brother. I'm a Star Trek fan, all right? I like it better. I like Star Wars, but I like Star Trek better, all right? It doesn't mean the rest of you are less than me, right? Like, come on. Does anyone in here like Star Wars better than Star Trek? Give me a whisper. Star Trek was louder. I think the consensus is that more people like Star Trek than Star Wars. See, in one of the latest movies of Star Trek, it's called Into Darkness. Now, again, hands up if you've never even heard of Star Trek. That's ridiculous. May the Lord bring wisdom and understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, do you know what it's about? No, it didn't work. All right, come on. All right. In this latest movie, one of the latest movies of Star Trek, Into Darkness, it starts with the Enterprise. The Enterprise is the bee's knees of spaceships, right? It's the bee's knees. It's the best. And the Enterprise starship is under the surface of the water in like a big lake or something on a planet, Nibiru, all right? It's just there, and the people on the planet, they were like prehistoric in our terms, right? They were like old school. They had not developed any science or anything like that. They hadn't even invented the wheel. So when they wanted to carry stuff places, they didn't like put it in a wheelbarrow and wheel it down there. They all picked it up. And like maybe 300 years later, someone was going to invent the wheel and everyone was going to be like, genius! Wheelbarrow! Best thing ever, right? They didn't even have that yet. They were still trying to get squares to turn and stuff. It wasn't working very well. Here they are up here. They look more like a leper colony from the book of Luke, don't they? And so this whole team, they hadn't had any of that, right? But the thing about the Enterprise and the Federation, the people who run the Enterprise and the spaceships and stuff, they're not allowed to interfere with a planet's natural development, right? And so if a planet hasn't yet discovered things like space travel or electricity, they're not supposed to find that because of you. But something goes wrong, and they have to fly their spaceship out of the lake. So this spaceship just starts appearing and flies up out of the lake with all of the Nibiru people watching. They see this insane thing happen. This flying contraption comes up out of the water and then just takes off into space. But they couldn't understand it. And because they couldn't understand what it was or how it was even possible to fly or have a spaceship, they then turn the spaceship into their God. They drew a picture of it and started standing around it, worshiping the spaceship, all right? It became their God. Now, if Paul wrote to the Romans 2,000 years ago, all the ways you could serve God at Eternity Church, it would have for them become an idol. Because they wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't understand the things that are going to happen. They wouldn't understand the way church is going to work, and it would have become an idol. Now, for us, that can happen in our lives, right? Can't what we do for God run the risk of becoming God? What we do for God run the risk of becoming an idol? Something that's more important to us than God? Like maybe playing guitar could become more important to us than worshiping God? Maybe serving in the kids' church could become more important to you than worshiping God in church? Like, we got to make sure that serving in kids' church doesn't become why you're in church rather than what you do in church. We got to make sure that being on the safety team doesn't become why I'm in church instead of what I'm doing in church. We've got to understand something, right? Like, if you only come to church the weeks that you're scheduled on kids' church, it's now why you're in church. Kids' church has now become your why. It's now become an idol in your life. If you only come to church the week that you serve, you no longer come to gather to worship. You now come together to do something. Preaching could easily become my why instead of my what, couldn't it? Preaching is what I do for the Lord, but it's not why I'm here. Oh, it's not why I'm here. Like, I like it. I'm into it. It's all good. But His mercy is why I'm here. His grace is why I'm here. His presence is why I'm here. His voice is why I'm here. Jesus Christ, He is why I'm here. He saved me. He set me free. He set me free of my sin, my hurt, my pain, my shame, things I did, things other people did around me. He set me free. He's why I'm here. His anointing, amen. I am part of this body. That's why I'm here. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. I am in the church. The church is in me. I am in the body and it is in me. That's why I'm here. I belong here. I'm not just here to preach. I'm not just here to lead. This is just my what. It's not my why. We need to make sure that our what does not become our why. That what we do does not become more important than being the church, than being in the church, than worshiping the Lord in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a what. I'm saying what and why a lot. Are you tracking with me, church? You're catching it. There's nothing wrong with having a what. There's nothing wrong with serving God. Obviously, Scripture is full of encouragement to serve God. God has given us all a what. Some of us a few watts. Sometimes we're all a few watts short of a light globe. I get it. But God has given us all a what. Every one of us. I really think it's important before we start talking about that we understand that what we do should never become why we're here. I'm going to Eternity Church. Why? Because I get to play guitar. Wrong answer. I'm going to Eternity Church because I get to serve in the coffee bar. Wrong answer. I want to be here because there's a heart and culture of the presence of God that I'm in love with. I love the presence of God. And then because I love the presence of God in this place, God has given me something to do to help other people enter into His presence in this place. Amen. But as I was reading that scripture, I couldn't help but feel like I was missing something really important. Have you ever been reading the Word and you're like, I know what this is about, but I still feel like I'm missing something? You ever had that? Like, you're reading it and you're like, yeah, I'm reading this verse. It's fantastic, but I'm missing something. And so you read it again and you're like, no, like, I get it. I'm seeing exactly what it says. But then there's something in your heart saying, nah, you're just not getting all of it, yeah? And that's the Holy Ghost, by the way. That's the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks about how the Holy Spirit will illuminate and help you understand the Word of God, right? Boom. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, keep digging. Yeah, it's like, what's the monkey and Simba? What's the monkey's name? Look harder, you know? Like, do you even know what I'm talking about right now? Like, hey, Rafiki. Saying to Simba, you know, look in the water. He's like, I see my reflection. Look harder, you know? And he looks harder and he sees the Father. Anyway, like, I feel like that when I'm reading the Word of God sometimes, that that I need to look harder and that I'll see what the Father wants to say to me. And so I kept reading it and I kept reading it. And I think I read it more than I've ever read it before. I kept reading it and I saw something amazing. See, before he even explains some of the what's, some of the ways that we can serve God, and some of the things we can do for God, before he even writes about what we can do for God, he writes about how we can discover what God's will is for our lives. So we'll go back to the start. Romans 12, we're just going to read two verses, all right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, there's four things in this, all right? That was number one. In view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship too. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Three, and then, someone say, and then, 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 you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for. I love math. I'm all about math. And if everything could be solved with a math problem, I'd be all about that life, right? Like, what I love about this is God did like a step-by-step math sum on how to discover the will of God in your life. He goes, 1 + 2 + 3 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4. Boom, will of God. Like, I'm all about that, right? And so what it says here, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies to God. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to tell what God's will is for your life. The passage is saying, God did something, so you need to do something, so God can do something in you, so you can experience what God has for you. He says, God, because of God's mercy, unending mercy, because of God's mercy, you can bring yourself into the presence of God, because he's not angry with you, because your sin is paid for, because you are made holy and righteous by the blood of Jesus, because of my mercy, you can bring yourself into the presence of God and offer yourself to God. And then I will renew your mind. Then I will transform your mind. I will heal your mind. I will put desire in your godly desire in your mind. And then you'll know what God's plan is for your life. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the bit he tells us to do. The first one and the second two, that's God. What did he tell us to do? Come into the presence of God and offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now let's just, there's no skirting around the fact that when you read the Bible, some of it's weird and that sounds weird. Am I right? Like it does. Let's just make peace with that. It sounds weird, right? Like, and then it goes on to some brainwashing after that. He goes, and I will renew your mind. And you're like, all right, cool. All right. Like, but let's dig into it. Let's dive into that for a second. You got to understand something about sacrifice though. In the Old Testament, the believer would come to God with a sacrifice at the altar, and that sacrifice was an act of worship. So they would come into the presence of God, and then they would worship God with a sacrifice. But now God is saying that we should bring our bodies as a living sacrifice. He's literally saying, bring your body into the presence of God and offer it as a living sacrifice to God. Now, we might sit there and be like, you want this? Why would you even want this skinny little body? Why would you want this bald head? Why would you want my overweight body? Why would you want my broken down arthritis knees, God? Why would you want this, right? Because we talk about in this church that it's what's on the inside that counts. And we do say that, and it is true. Don't we say that? It's what's on the inside of your heart that counts. Do we say that here? Do we believe that here, right? It's true. What on the inside that counts. But check it out. The inside is inside. Hello? The inside is inside something. That's why it's called the inside. The inside is inside something. Your body is what God designed for you, gave you, and put your life in it, and put your spirit in it, and put your mind in it. Come on. Your body is how you experience the life that God gifted you with. Now, check it out. We're not bringing our bodies into the presence of God as a sacrifice so that we can pay the price for our sins. Someone else did that. Jesus Christ took his body into the presence of God and offered his body as a sacrifice, come on, for our sin, to pay the price for our sin. That is taken care of. Your sin is paid for. Somebody say amen. Your sin is paid for. His body was already broken to pay the price for our sins. Yours doesn't need to be broken to pay the price for our sins. That's taken care of. See, what our body looks like, it has no bearing on its worthiness to be in the presence of God. Oh, whether we're overweight or underweight, healthy or unhealthy, well-dressed or poorly dressed, or black or white, or Asian or Hispanic, or Native American or Indigenous Australian, whether we're male or female, none of that matters. Peter the disciple made it clear that what our bodies look like makes no difference to God. None at all. This is not talking about what you look like. This is not talking about how well-dressed or poorly dressed. Hey, Sunday best clothes, goodbye. Wear whatever you want. Just wear clothes to church, all right? Listen up. This scripture is not talking about the characteristics of your body. It's talking about the behavior of your body. It's talking about where your body is and what it's doing. Now, I know there's a whole nother sermon we could talk about that, and there's lots of scriptures that talk about that as well, but this passage is not talking about what your body does in regard to sin or not. That's not this passage. This passage isn't talking about that, whether you sin with your body or not. There's plenty of scriptures about that. We should read that. We want to honor God with our bodies in that way. This passage, though, is talking about how if you want to know God's plan for your life, you need to get used to dragging your life into the presence of God and offering it to Him. That you need to use your feet to carry yourself into the presence of God. That you need to use your hands to lift up in surrender to God and reaching out to God and saying, God, you are what I want. You need to look to the Lord and let the things of the earth grow strangely dim. You need to use your knees to move a little bit, oil them up and get a little bit free in the presence of God. Amen. You need to use your mouth to worship. Use your mouth to praise Him. You need to use your mouth to sing with the chorus of angels. Amen. You need to use your ears to hear the chorus of worshipers, to hear the voice of God. You better believe it. There is an absolute undeniable physicality to your spirituality. They are linked. They will be together until the day that they're not. And then they will never be together again. Your body and your spirit are connected. Your body, where it is and what it's doing, it affects your spirit. That's why you need to bring your body to church. In His presence, presenting yourself to the Lord. Allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit. Asking God to renew your mind, to renew your spirit. And then you will know what God's called you to do. And then you'll find your passions in His presence. Then you'll hear His word, His voice speaking to you through the word, through the message, through the song, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then you will find it. But listen to me, listen up. If you're standing alone in the woods somewhere saying, I don't need church, I can worship God on my own. You know what? You can worship God on your own. You can, absolutely. But you cannot obey Scripture by being on your own all the time. Not going to happen. Scripture says that we need to gather together. Gather. Gather together. This is not talking about that moment on your own. This whole passage is about your body as a part of the body. Hello. Together. If you do not spend time in His presence, in a posture of worship, being renewed in your mind and spirit, your what will very quickly become your idol. It will become your why. And it will lead you away from God rather than leading other people to God. Your what is supposed to be a blessing to help bring other people to God, but it will become the very thing that leads you away from God if it becomes why you are here. It cannot become your why. Every volunteer, you got to make sure that you don't simply volunteer every single week, but that you simply come and bring your body into the presence of God as a living sacrifice. Every staff member, you got to make sure that you bring your body into His presence simply to worship. I remember when we hired Pastor Sean 6,000 years ago. He was surprised when I said, you need to be in church at least once a month, not in kids' church. He used to be our kids' pastor. Those were the days. He was surprised. I'm like, no, you need to be in church. Why? So that his what doesn't become why he's in church. So he's not a part of Eternity Church because he has to do games in kids' church. So he doesn't come to church on a weekend because he's got to teach a lesson about Noah to the kids. No, but that he's here because he's in love with the presence of God. And he wants to be a vehicle to bring other people into the presence of God. Maybe you're here and your what has become your why. Have you got so caught up in what you do that you forgot why you were doing it? You need to use your feet to carry yourself away from what for a few minutes. And anyone on this stage, they can walk off this stage and just walk down there and worship. We've always been okay with that. Our worship leaders will be like, I guess we've got to figure out who's on drums now. You need to just stand in His presence and worship Him. Forget about the pandemic. Forget about the rain. Forget about everything else and just worship Him. Maybe you're here and you want to know how you can figure out what you're called to do. Can I tell you the answer to that? Number one, if you're just out in the woods, that's not where it's going to happen. Yeah, God can refresh your heart and encourage you out there. But if you want to know what His will is, you'll only discover that as a part of the body of Christ. Come on. It's the word of God, it's not me. If you need to worship online because maybe you're sick or you can't get into church right now or that's not what's best for your family right now, and you've prayed about that and you believe that, that's cool. That's cool. No judgment. But when you worship at home, you know what you need to do? You need to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Can I tell you what? Standing, just sitting there on the couch, watching church like you watch a movie, you might learn some things from the Word, but there's no engagement in your spirit. It's not a movie, my friends. You need to lift your hands. You need to sing. You need to pay attention. Don't get up and make a coffee in the middle of the message or in the middle of worship. Come on. Listen to me. In the Old Testament, they would bring a sacrifice to the Lord. So I'm talking to everybody now. They'd bring a sacrifice to God. So they would walk into His presence and then they would offer something to God. And that offering was their act of worship. And so often we think standing in God's presence is worship. It's not. Oh, it feels good. It's nice. I love it. I love it when I can stand there like, man, I can feel the presence of God in this place. That's amazing. I love that. But that's not your worship. You're just benefiting from the fact that when people are gathered, there I am with you. And when people draw near to God, there He is with them. You're benefiting from that. You're feeling the presence of God. Fantastic. It's not worship. You need to offer worship. And Scripture says that when you come into His presence, you need to offer yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice. Engage. Engage. Engage in worship. This is not it. So everyone's singing and you're like, that ain't it. Congrats. You got to enjoy the presence of God. Yippity-doo-dah. It did nothing. You want the renewing of your mind? You want the healing of your body, mind, spirit? You need to offer something to God. How do we do that? You need to lift your hands in worship. I'm not saying you stand there the whole time, but Scripture talks about lifting hands in worship. We need to lift our hands in worship. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to move a little bit. Come on, need to loosen up a little bit. Come on. You need to sing. You need to open your mouth. Either worship by singing the song, or if you get to a part of the song that's just like me, you don't, you know, it's like you can't do that. Cool. Then just say something to God. God, I love you. God, I love you. I'm so glad I get to stand in your presence. This feels good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this healing. You need to offer something to God. Offer worship. Offer your hands raised. Offer your knees moving. Come on, give God something. There is a physicality to your spirituality. And the longer you deny that, the longer it will feel like you're not getting traction in your life. So in this room, you want to be in the presence of God. But it says here, offer your bodies as an act of worship. That's your true and proper worship, holy and pleasing to God. And it's in that environment that God will heal your mind, that God will transform your life. And it's in that environment that He'll put desires in your heart and you'll know what God's will is for your life. Praise God. Would you stand up with me? Come on. I'm not saying this because it looks good when people are moving. Do you know what? It's not about having a crowd. It's not about the size of the crowd. But if you want your life to be transformed, there's a transaction that's got to happen. You got to offer yourself to God. I think it's time for some people to experience the fullness of God by offering God the fullness of yourself. Saying, all right, God, it's like this, right? Someone texted me yesterday after my message and said, maybe to love your life, you need to love the presence of God. And you actually need to live it. Do something with it. Amen. And so I encourage you as we go to worship in a few minutes. And I know some people, I know it, trust me, I got it. I know some people hear a message like, I 100% agree, but I can't do that this week because then He'll know that I did it because He said so. So I'm going to do it next week, all right? Look, if that's what you need to do to be like, yeah, I got it, cool, worship next week. I would encourage you to worship in this next song. We're going to sing Whole Heart again. Whole heart again in just a moment. And I want to encourage you to offer Him your whole heart and your whole body. And again, I'm not saying we all need to be weird and jump around, do laps around. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, but would you actually engage your body, the thing that houses your spirit and your mind? Would you actually give it to God for a few moments and worship Him? Amen. You're going to get a breakthrough. You're going to get a breakthrough. You're going to step out of care and what Mary thinks about you and what Tim thinks about you. Saying, all right, I got this, God. Let's do this. Amen. But before we do that, I just want to talk to people who don't know Jesus. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want you to give your life to Him now. Our service will close in about 7 minutes. I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're away from God, give Him your life. Before time began, we can argue about whether that was 1 billion years ago or 6,000 years ago. And quite frankly, I've never understood. Bob, you ever understood why people care about that? I just don't care. Have your opinion. Go for it. I don't care about when God created the world. I just care about the fact that it was God that created the world. All right? I'll fight you on that one. You know, it was God. When he created the world, he thought of you. He said, let us make mankind in our image. Why did he say, let us make mankind in our image? Well, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Let us make mankind in our image. And at that moment, God thought of you. And he saw you here today. And he knew today would be the day that you'd give your life to Christ. He knew today would be the day that you stop living in the shame and the pain of your past mistakes, or the shame and the pain of things that other people did to you. And that today would be the day that you step into the life that he designed for you. And when he thought of you, he planned a blessed life. He planned a good life. He planned a life that is healed and whole and full of favor in Jesus. He planned that life for you. And he knew that you would have a few years before that, lots of years or just a couple, where you weren't following him. He knew that. But the good news is he's still got the blueprint. And he knows how to line your life up with his plan. So today I want you to pray a prayer with me, asking God to forgive your sin and asking God to help you become all that he designed you to be. All right? Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. It doesn't say that you have to talk like me, dress like me, walk like me, any of that at all. There's none of that. Right? It's not my job to fix you. It's not my job to change you. Won't happen. If I go about trying to fix someone, number one, I'm not even fixed myself, right? But number two, I'll create you in the image of what I want you to be. And that's just dumb. I want you to become what God planned for you to be. So I'm not interested in trying to fix you or change you. I want to introduce you to the Father, amen? I want to introduce you to Jesus. And he can make your life line up with what he planned for you to be. So it'll be true and authentic and real. So I want you to pray a prayer with me right now and give your life to Christ and ask God to help you become all that you were designed to be and experience all you were designed to experience in the name of Jesus. So everybody in the room and everybody online will pray this prayer together so that you're not praying it alone. Some of you are giving your life to Christ for the first time. Some of you are rededicating your life to Christ after having walked away for a while. But let's all pray this prayer together so no one's alone. Repeat after me, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask for your help to live this life the way you designed it, so I can experience all that you designed for me to experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you my life. I make you my Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on. There's a couple of things I need you to do if you prayed that prayer. Go to myeternity.com/Jesus or text the word SAVE to the number 25827. We just want to send you a gift that'll help you live a blessed life, that'll help you understand how to discover all that God had planned for your life. And so please do that. We just really, again, it's another chance for us to be a blessing. It really will bless you if you can go to that web address or text that number. A couple of things we're going to give you that'll help you live a really blessed life. By the way, we're also in that. There will also be a gift card to one of my favorite local coffee shops. And so that'll be awesome as well. The second thing is, I want to pray for you. So if everyone could close their eyes and bow their heads. In this room and online rooms, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Give people privacy, because you don't honestly know the state of the heart of the person next to you. Some people gave their life to Christ for the first time in this place today, and I'm so grateful for it. And some people rededicated their lives to the Lord after having walked away, and I'm so grateful for you. Jesus left 99 to go get one. So I'm glad that you come back today. But I want to pray for you. So if you're in this room or if you're online and you prayed that prayer with us this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and lift up your hand. You're taking that step of faith, lifting up your hand, engaging your body, saying, yes, God, I want what you have for me. I give you my life. So on the count of three, while no one's looking around, I won't call you out or point you out, but I need you to take that step of faith. Don't be ashamed of God. He's not ashamed of you. On the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hand right now. One, two, three, four, five. You can put your hand down. Okay, five people in this room put their hand up, gave their lives to Christ. Can I get all of you to just really reach out your hands in faith as we pray for those five people and whoever else did online? Heavenly Father, we just declare the favor of God, the peace of Jesus, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, the joy of the Lord on those people's lives. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would break shame and pain and fear and hurt off their lives and replace it with healing, hope, joy, peace, purpose. God, I pray that as they make the presence of God a priority in their lives and as they offer themselves to you, that you would speak to them, put new desires in their hearts to replace wrong desires. God, I thank you that this place is a grace space where people can come and experience the grace and the favor of God. Help us to help them become all they were designed to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, amen. Well, I'm going to walk off. Service will close in 5 minutes. We're going to sing this song, Whole Heart. And as we do, I know that as we actually engage in, for you, maybe engaging might be just singing. Awesome. Cool. Maybe you've been doing that and God's pushing you to go a little further and it's time to lift up your hands in surrender to God. Cool. That's awesome. But whatever you do, I'd encourage you to go a little further than you did last week. I'd encourage you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Maybe it's walking down the front. Maybe it's something else. But I want to encourage you that while we worship today, that for the sake of your heart being healed and renewed, for the sake of you discovering your what, for the sake of your what not being your why, pray you'd offer yourself to the Lord in worship today. Spend some time right now, just 5 minutes. Don't walk out. Spend 5 minutes worshiping the Lord. And by the way, if anyone wants prayer at the very end of the service, you can just stay in this room and everyone else will leave when the service is finished. If you stay in this room, we'll pray for you down here with masks and gloves and everything, but we'll pray for you. But right now, before we even do that, I want everybody to worship the Lord, offer our whole hearts and our whole selves. An opportunity for the Holy Spirit to minister to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship.
What a powerful message. I pray that that challenged you like it challenged me. Don't let your what become your why. I'll say that again. Don't let your what become your why. What a simple statement, but yet just speaks volumes. So good, Pastor Jesse, so good. If you are interested in starting to serve, visit our website, myeternity.com. If you're wanting to connect with us, same thing. Visit our website, myeternity.com. You can find us on Facebook at My Eternity Church. You can find us on Instagram at My Eternity Church. Just reach out. We would love to connect with you. Thank you so much for listening. If you missed last week's episode, that is up wherever you find your podcasts. That is week one of The Flourishing Church, and you gotta listen to that. Like I said earlier, that is a must hear. So again, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Love you heaps.